I'm going to do something. I'm going to share the word with you tonight. I'm going to preach. But next week, I'm going to bring you guys close, and we're going to sit. Okay? We'll do that for a few weeks. And I'll share the word, but I want to give you guys a chance for you to share. Okay? You're hearing from me all the time. I'd like to hear from you. Hear what God is doing in your life. Maybe you have a word that you can share, and let God just work and knit our hearts together, you know, as we sit. Can't do an intimate Bible study. There's too many of us, but we can certainly have a we could have a Bible study we can share together. So I want to I'm gonna go through the Word, but I'm gonna do something a little differently tonight. I'm gonna share some things about how shall we pray, but tonight I'd like to talk to you about how shall we pray for our church. So I just want you to stop and think. When you're praying for Living Word, just I'm going to talk about Living Word Community Church. What are you praying for the church? And I'm going to take from the book of Acts, chapter 9, 31. And you can stand with me. So it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And Father God, what a picture, a beautiful picture of a church, Lord God, a church that is at peace, a church, Lord God, that is living in the comfort of your Spirit, who are walking in the fear of the Lord, and a church, Lord God, that you're multiplying. And Father God, you're adding to their numbers. So, Father God, tonight I want to pray, Lord God, that you would imprint this passage upon our hearts, that when we are praying, we're in our private prayer, in a group prayer, or we're here at the church praying, Lord God, in a group, maybe we remember to lift up, Lord God, these requests to you and ask that you would accomplish your will and accomplish this at Living Word Community Church. For this we pray in the name of the Lord. Amen. So, one thing I'll share, you know, sometimes when we're praying, you know, if we pray according to the will of God, I mean, you're really in harmony with God when you're praying according to His will, and that is where our prayers are incredibly powerful. So I think at times we could be confused, and one of the I think the easiest ways and the best ways to pray the will of God is to pray the Scripture. So in, you know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So I think one of the simplest ways to, you know the will of God is Scripture. I mean, if you want to know the will of God, you know, just get into the Word of God. I don't know how many of you, have you ever prayed Scripture before? How many of you have ever prayed, just prayed Scripture? And just, you know, going like Psalm 23, we're all familiar with. Just to pray Psalm 23, and I frequently will pray through the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. And just to say, Lord, I'm praying that you would be the shepherd of my life, the Lord of my life, the leader of my life, the God of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Lord, make me content in you. I don't want to have the heart of a worldly person, always wanting more and more and more to make myself happy. Can I be just content in knowing you and having you in my life? He leads me besides green pastures. Lord, lead me today besides green pastures, right? Just guide me into those green pastures. Lead me to those still waters. Make me lie down in peace by those still waters, Lord God. And so that's the picture of praying the Scriptures. So in the passage, here in Acts chapter 9:31, that's what I want to do with you tonight, is to pray the Scripture. And we'll look at a couple of key things. Again, the text tells us about the church was experiencing peace, edification, the fear of the Lord, comfort, and multiplication. So let's look at those things and we'll pray them. The first is pray for the church's peace. And Acts chapter, again, 9:31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace. And the word there in the Greek is Irene. You get the name of the woman's name, Irene, for peace, it means rest. But to just expand, the word in the Hebrew is what for peace? Shalom, right? And when we think of shalom, I think a lot of times we think, well, we're living at peace with our neighbors. you know, peace be with you, right? And the word peace in Hebrew is so much more, and really it is the same in the Greek with the word Irene. I want to read to you, this is a great description of what shalom is. And it talks about not just the destination, but the journey of doing the things that are necessary to experience the shalom of the Lord. So derived from the Hebrew root shalom, meaning completeness and wholeness, peace, harmony, salvation, tranquility, friendship, trust, hospitable, safe, secure, well-being, health, freedom, prosperity, the action that leads to a state of being whole, the process that leads to fullness, forgiven, paid for, to make good, to restore, to make amends, contentment. When you think of this, it really, if you get down to your heart of hearts, it's everything we want. It's everything we long for. It's everything we hunger for. It's everything we desire to, you know, to want to experience shalom. So the idea again, it is not just a destination, it is a journey. So it's when we pray for shalom for the church, saying that every person in the church would experience shalom. Every family would experience shalom. But that they would also be doing the things that are necessary to experience it. Because, you know, you could want something, you could understand something, but then there are the steps you have to take to actually experiencing it and manifesting it in your life. So we're praying not just for the destination, we're praying that people would be on the journey moving more and more closer to shalom and seeing it manifest more and more in their lives. Do you get that? So that is a great prayer to be praying when you're praying for the church, when you're praying for Living Word Community Church, you're praying for the pastors, you're praying for the elders and the deacons, all the servants in the church, the entire body of Christ, for the children, to the, you know, oldest person, that we would pray for shalom. So I'd like to pray for shalom for the church. And I'm going to give you an opportunity if you would like to pray as well. You know, we're going to look at these five different, again, key things that we can be praying for. But maybe you would like to just pray and pray a prayer of shalom over our church. So Heavenly Father, we just, Lord God, we bow before you because you are our God, Lord God. You are Yahweh Shalom, God of peace. And your Son, Lord, is the Prince of Peace. And it is, Lord God, in Jesus that we experience peace and its fullness. But we do pray, Lord God, we pray for our church. There are people in our church, maybe here tonight, Lord God, people who could be watching, and people, Lord God, who are just, they're tuned into something else in this world, and they have no peace. They are experiencing anxiety and fear, Lord God. There are things going on in their lives, Lord God, that, Lord God, just rob them of that peace. So we are going to pray. We're going to pray, Lord God, for shalom to be in the hearts of all the people of the body of Christ at Living Word Community Church. And we're going to pray, Lord God, that, Lord Jesus, they would truly seek to be on that journey, doing the things, Lord God, that you call us to do day by day to manifest shalom, Lord, in their lives. And Lord God, I lift that up to you and I pray it in Jesus' name. And feel free, if you feel led to pray for shalom for the church, pray. Amen. Amen.
In their actions, Father, we pray, Father, for sweet shalom, for sweet peace, Father, fully trusting in you and your plan, Father, for each of their lives, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can come and lift them up to you, different ones that, Father, I'm just thinking about specifically. We ask, Father, even now as we're praying, that their hearts would be stirred by you. In Jesus' name we pray for peace for them.
Amen. The second, you know, the thing that you see here in the church is we are to pray for the church's edification. So you look at, again, Acts chapter 9:31, where it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. What does it mean to be edified? You see that in the scriptures, edification. It's an interesting word. The word is oiko. Okay, dome. And oikodome, you know what it means? To build a house. So the idea is here, the edification of the church, the house is being built. The house is growing strong. The house is, you know, is enlarging. Here's, a definition of edification. A word meaning to build up, oikodome, that's the noun, oikodomeo, is the verb 39 times in the New Testament, a constructed building or an act of building a structure. Now, if you know anything, like, you know, in the building of a house, and the house is as strong, right, as its weakest brick. You know, I mean, one, it's interesting, a house with, you know, with a stone that is weak could literally cause the crumbling of the house. So when we're praying for the strength, okay, and the building of the church, the edification of the church, it's not just praying for the, you know, the church as a whole, it's praying for the individuals, that each individual would be growing and becoming stronger and stronger. And I stress this, you know, a verse that God laid on my heart many years ago, Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Now that's a prayer. I pray that over my grandkids every day. And I pray that prayer over the church. But the picture, Jesus, again, who was God and who had no sin, and again, if he needed to grow, I certainly need to grow, and we all need to grow. But he grew in wisdom. He grew psychologically. He grew in that chokmah. The Hebrew word is chokmah. It's that specific knowledge. It's that knowledge of knowing how to navigate through this world. And stature, he grew physically. And then he grew in favor with God. He grew in that relationship. He grew in the vertical relationship with God spiritually, and he grew in favor with men. He grew relationally with men. But that's what we be praying for, the growth of our brothers and sisters, that they would, you know, they would go on from being newborns, right, to growing into being toddlers, growing into being adolescents, growing into the teenage life, growing and becoming mature Christians. In Ephesians 4:16-18, and it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. I want you to notice that. I don't want to stand here and present myself as a gift to the church, but that's essentially what it's saying. That, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers are gifts to the church. Now, for the equipping of the saints and for the working of ministry, and notice for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what we're here doing tonight. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. I just want to say this to you. That deceitfulness is not merely talking about false teachers in the church. It's talking about all the deception of the world. There are people buying into, you know, buying into things in the world, thinking, I mean, how many people in the church do we need to be praying for that they would truly be edified because they are bought more into the world than they have into the Word of God? And you see it, you know, you see it here. So that is key that we're praying for their edification. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When the church is being edified and individuals are being edified, and crisis will come, right? Jesus, when he talked and he wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27, he talks about two people. One builds their house upon the rock. They heard the word and they put it into practice. The other person built their house on sinking sand. They heard the word, but they didn't put it into practice. When the storm came, the person on sinking sand, their house washed away. The person whose house was built on the rock stood firm. That's one of the main things I believe that we pray for, that our church would be deeply rooted upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ and the Word of God, so that when the storm comes, we're able to stand. Now, what we see is, I'll tell you, many people here, and we have a lot of, I think, a core group of very strong people here. And when the crises have hit, you see them. They're firm. They're grounded. But there are people who have not. They're not in that place. And when the crisis hits, they will get washed away. So that is, I think, a key prayer. We need to be praying daily for the edification of the church, for the building up of the church as a whole and as individuals. Each stone, that it would become stronger and stronger. Each family unit, each husband and wife, the children, each single person, that they would become stronger and stronger and be edified. So let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord God, for the edification of Living Word Community Church. We pray, Lord God, that, Lord, this church truly would be edified and built up, Lord God, as a whole. Lord God, pastors, elders, deacons, servants, ministry leaders, Lord God, all the people in the church, children, Lord God, adults, each and every marriage and family, that, it, Lord God, would be edified and built up and become stronger and stronger, Lord God, firmer and more grounded deeply, Lord Jesus, in you and in the Word of God, that, Lord God, if a storm should hit the church, or if a storm should hit an individual or a family, Lord God, they will be rooted and stand firm, Lord God, and not be moved. Their house is built upon the rock and not upon the sinking sand. We pray for the edification of Living Word Community Church, Lord. And feel free to pray a prayer.
God, in our going in and in our going out, and whilst we are still, from this time forth forevermore, from everlasting to everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, always and forever.
Okay, we'll go to the third part. And third point is pray that the church would walk in the fear of the Lord. So in Acts chapter 9:31, again, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord? So people think it's walking in the terror of the Lord. I think of fear. The word is phobia. It's the word. But I'll give you a couple of thoughts. Hebrews chapter 12, 28 through 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. But the word there, and talks about this reverence, deep respect. You know, it's to deeply honor God. That's how we should be walking, you know, amongst one another in the body of Christ, in that fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And essentially, the fear of the Lord will always come with the knowledge of God. When you understand that God is a holy God, that He's an omnipotent God who is all-powerful, that He's an omniscient God who sees everything that you do, that He's the God who holds your very life in the palm of His hand, He basically sustains your heartbeat and the breath of your life. What that does is that knowledge brings an awe. It brings a wonder. And I think of this, because I believe it's something that is missing in many people's lives, is that sense. We were created, I believe, to experience an awe and wonder. I got an invitation today to jump out of an airplane. Did you get it too? So we got an invitation to jump out of an airplane. And, but you know, it's I'm sure, very, you know, awe-inspiring, and it's all, you know, emotional. But people are seeking an experience, an awe-inspiring experience. In the presence of God, when we come to know Him, there should be a sense of awe. There should be a sense of wonder that we're living with on a regular basis. When people are not living in the fear of the Lord, they get themselves into trouble. And you see this, right? Just been pastoring for 40 years. I see Christians do very dumb things. They make very sinful decisions that, you know, jeopardize their families, their marriages, their children. And, you know, just that, I think that's what happens. And then what happens when you're not walking in the fear of the Lord and you're a believer, God's going to discipline you. And I tell you, His discipline should put fear in our hearts. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, 5 and 6. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." That is the disciplining of God. "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." I want to qualify this. We suffer at times, and at times as Christians, there may be a number of reasons. It's not always the discipline of God. Okay, there are times when we suffer because I'll say, just the principle of reaping and sowing has been built into this universe, and you will reap what you sow. Okay, and that goes for every area of your life, and that could have nothing to do, okay, with God disciplining you. Another reason why we suffer, we can be suffering because we have opened ourselves up to the devil, and it's the devil who's afflicting us. And there is affliction that Christians can experience. Not demonization or demon possession, but he can afflict Christians. And that could be something that happens. There's another thing that happens with us. Sometimes a Christian will be suffering, and it has nothing to do with the devil. It has nothing to do with God's discipline, and it has nothing to do with them reaping and sowing. It simply is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is fallen, and you see that all around you. So you see, the COVID virus come. And there were people in the churches that became sick and died. And it wasn't, you know, the devil who brought it on them. It wasn't God doing it to them. It's just we live in a fallen world. Hey, we get old, right? We degenerate, right? We eventually, you know, unless the Lord comes, we will die. And that is just simply because we live in a fallen world. But here, the disciplining of God is bringing a level of affliction upon the Christian who is not walking in the fear of the Lord. God will chasten us. You know what I find God? He basically will hit us where it most hurts. So I see people sometimes, you know, maybe, you know, they have a little illness or something, it's no big deal, or but they're really tied into their money. And all of a sudden they start to have money problems. I've said this through the years, you know, God, you know, if you're not being faithful in the way you're walking with him, he'll take your boiler and you can pay for your boiler. He'll take your water heater. You know, he'll take your car. But God will, he will discipline us, and he'll hit us where it most hurts to get our attention. And he's doing that out of love. So when we're looking at the body of Christ, we see people who are not walking in the fear of the Lord. They're very cavalier in their walk with God. They take the body of Christ for granted. They take worship and the teaching of the word for granted. And then all of a sudden we see them, right? They're starting, you know, they're having problems. They're having difficulties. It very well could be God disciplining them with what is happening in their life. And that's what we need to pray. We need to pray that we all would be walking in the fear of the Lord. If we're walking in the fear of the Lord, God is not going to be chastening us. He's not going to be disciplining us. Pastor Sam, I'd like you to pray a prayer for the church and just be praying that our church would walk in the fear of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord, and for us coming together, Lord, and just letting your word soak into our hearts, Lord, today. And that, Lord, that we would walk in the fear of you, O God. That, Lord, that we would be always mindful of you. That we would have a God consciousness in this body. Mm-hmm. That you see all things. And, Lord, we are to treat each other with love and grace in truth. Always encouraging, exhorting each other that we would be more like you, more like your son. Oh God, may a holy fear come in our hearts when we do not walk according to your word and according to your truth. May we quickly repent when we turn to our own ways, Lord, or the ways of the world. Draw us back, anybody in this place, draw us back with tender cords of mercy, O God, for those of us who have strayed from your holy commandments. Lord, we praise you and thank you. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name.
And Father, I want to pray, Lord God, just it tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 that the spirit that was upon Yeshua, the anointing, Lord, talks about the seven spirits and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I think that's an aspect, a dimension of your Holy Spirit. Fall upon this church. Fill us with a holy fear. Let us believe in our hearts and know, Lord God, that you are consuming fire. Let us, Lord God, let our knees knock together and let us have some awe and wonder, Lord God, in knowing that we're in the presence of the Holy One, the one who is holy, holy, holy. And then when Isaiah came into his presence, Lord, he said, woe is me, I'm a sinful man. And Lord God, he needed cleansing for his sinful mouth. Lord, let us be brought to repentance for our lack of fear. And that, Lord God, may the fear of God permeate this church, Lord, with those who are here tonight, but Lord God, the entire body of Christ. Lord, move upon us with that. Do what you have to do, Lord. You know, Lord, you don't need our permission. Do what you want to do to accomplish your will. And Lord God, I pray that there would be a spirit of fear in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The fourth is to pray for the church's comfort of the Holy Spirit. So the word there is the word paraclete. It's the word we get Holy Spirit, you know, we get the comforter from. And it's a word that talks about, you know, it's a word that talks about comfort, exhortation, and the infusing of power. Look at the verse again. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified in the walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So the picture of the Holy Spirit being a comforter is, it comes from a concept of a Roman general who would walk amongst his soldiers and basically put his arm around his soldiers and just speak words of strength and courage and boldness into their hearts. He would encourage them for the battles that, you know, that had to be fought. So in our church, there are people who are hurting. You have people who are suffering illness. You have people who have lost loved ones. You have people who have experienced tragedy. You have people that are experiencing challenges in their life, and those could be marriage challenges, challenges with children, financial challenges, career challenges. So there are people who are hurting, and we need to be praying for their comfort. You know, there's a prayer that I pray, comfort the afflicted, Lord, but afflict the comfortable. And the people who are comfortable, who, you know, Lord, shake them up. Bring something in their lives that are going to, Lord, bring them closer to you. Knock them out of their complacency and their lukewarmness. But there are a lot of people who are hurting, who are experiencing affliction, and we need to pray. We need to pray for their comfort. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. He's called the Spirit of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit invites us to come and to bring our burdens, to bring the things we're struggling with, and to really cast our burdens upon him. And we pray that. We pray that for people in the church. Know who's hurting in the church. Sometimes you could just look at the church and you can see. You discern in the Holy Spirit that there are people who are, you know, they're in pain and they're grieving. And sometimes the Spirit will just lay that person on your heart. And again, we're making known to you, you know, prayer requests that you should be lifting up. Also, you know, you should be on our prayer chain, because every day there are, you know, prayer requests that are going out that will give you a number of people that you could be praying for on a daily basis that are in our church who are really in need of comfort. So I want to just lift up prayers and faith. You know, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to pray, and then if people feel led to pray for the comfort of people. And maybe there's somebody specific in the church that you would like to pray for tonight for their comfort, and you can just call out their name. But Father, we come to you, Lord. You are our comforter. And Lord God, you're the one we can come and we can bring our burdens to, Lord Jesus, and the burdens of the church and the people, Lord God, who are hurting and suffering, Lord God, whether it's physical or psychological, emotional, spiritual. And Father God, we can just call upon your name that, Lord Jesus, you would go and stand in the midst of their affliction. And Lord, you will comfort them. And just as you brought, you know, comfort to so many, Lord, while you walked the earth, and Lord Jesus, you brought hope where there was hopelessness, you brought joy where there was misery, you brought peace where there was chaos, Lord, and you brought comfort where there was affliction. And Father God, we want to just lift up our church to you and pray for their comfort. And Father God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Faith, I'm going to give it to you.
For our brothers and sisters in this local assembly, Father, that we would have a keenness of discernment, Father God, that we would discern the body of Christ and know, Father, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, the pain and suffering that people are going through, Lord God, that you would use us through the power of the Holy Spirit to comfort, Father, our brothers and sisters specifically, Lord. We know many of them by name, Father God, and just, you know who they are, and so for some level of privacy, Father, we'll keep that before you, Father. But we ask, Lord, that they would be comforted, Father, yes, by the Holy Spirit, and because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, that you would use us, Father, to come alongside them as the paraclete, to put our arms around their shoulder, to hold them close, Father, to stand shoulder to shoulder and bear their burdens with them, and that, Father, they would know how very much they're loved by you, because they're loved in the body of Christ. We thank you for this, Father. I do want to lift up my sister Diane, Father, who I pray is out of surgery by now, Lord God. And this has been, Father, a tremendous burden for her. Father, I pray that this surgery is completely successful, that she will emerge, Father God, out of the anesthesia, Father, comforted with your presence, Lord God. We pray that those who are surrounding her in the hospital, Lord, there are some that know you who will pray over her, Father, and that she will just so be blessed by your love for her. We thank you, Father, and commit this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Father, I'd like to pray for the comfort of Fernando and Ingrid, Lord, and their family. I'd like to pray for the comfort, Lord God, of Diane and Kevin, Lord, up at the hospital right now. I want to pray, Lord God, for the comfort of a sister in our church, Lord God, who lost a baby. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for her comfort, Lord God. I want to pray, Lord God, for the comfort, Lord Jesus, of O'Neill and his entire family, his wife, his daughters, Lord God, his sister down in Trinidad, that you would comfort them. And Lord God, just help them through this very trying time. I want to pray for the comfort of Carol. And Lord God, I know just as she goes through this recovery period, just discomfort and at times pain. And Lord Jesus, it affects you emotionally and Lord God, spiritually. I want to just pray for Carol that you would comfort her and that Lord God, you would just bring your paraclete miraculous grace to her life. And I want to lift up prayers, Lord God, for others in the body that we're not aware of that are going through a difficult time, Lord. Maybe there's, again, marriage difficulty or physical illness or financial stress. And I want to lift them up to you, Lord God, and I want to pray for their comfort. So I lift up these things to you, Lord God, and I pray them, Lord, in your name. And if there's anybody else who wants to lift up somebody and pray for their comfort right now, feel free to call out their name.
Heavenly Father, we just want to lift up Richie Venadio tonight, Lord, and Father God, we just pray for an outpouring of your Spirit upon him right now, Lord, that you would just touch him, that he would sense your holy presence, Lord, right now. We lift up Joy to you. We lift up Cece and Greg to you as well, Lord. We pray for the entire family, Lord, as they're walking through this with him, Lord. But we just pray, Father, that you would comfort him and touch him. And Lord, we pray for that healing touch that only you can give, Lord. Remove that cancer from his body, we pray, oh God. Lord, we want to lift up also those who have lost spouses, Lord, the death of their spouses, Lord. That, Lord, I know that they struggle with that pain and that hurt, Lord. We just want to pray for Joe and Alicia, and we want to lift up to you as well, Joanne. We want to pray, Lord, for all those who have lost loved ones, that Lord, they just, these relationships were so strong, and Lord, they missed them so much. But Father, I pray for an overwhelming sense of your presence in their lives right now, and that they would sense that you are with them, and that they are dancing on streets of gold, those that have gone home to you, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I'd like to lift up Gloria and Phil from our church, Lord God, senior members going through time, Lord God, where they definitely need your comfort. Take them in your loving arms tonight and comfort them, Lord God. I want to lift up, Lord God, Antonio and Jessica, Lord God, and for Antonio's niece, Lord, and we don't know her, but Lord, she's been ill, and that family is going through a really hard time, Lord God, and I want to just lift them up to you, Lord God, and I want to pray for your comfort to be upon that family. And that you would comfort them, and that, Lord, you would comfort them truly in that wonderful supernatural way where, Lord God, there's healing. There's healing, there's strength in your comfort, and that you would bless them.
I want to pray that I have faith and believe that you can Lord, I just want to lift up my grandmother, Lord, and I pray that she's comforted, Lord. We've recently lost my grandfather, Lord, and he got saved at the brink of his deathbed, Lord, and I praise God for it. He's definitely dancing on streets of gold with you at his side, Father, and I pray that my grandmother is just comforted, and also my father, Lord, and I pray in your holy, precious name, Lord, and I thank you. Amen.
Amen. We want to make sure we're praying for people right in the body and praying for them, so we're not lifting up, you know, unless you need personal comfort. So we stay on track here and don't go off into crazy tangents of prayer that distract us and literally they distract us, and at times they can grieve the Spirit. And if they don't grieve the Spirit, they certainly grieve me. Okay, let's go on. Number 5, pray for the church's multiplication. That's the last one. So in Acts chapter 9:31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And to pray for the multiplication of the church, let me just qualify that. We have never set out to fill this church with bodies. I hope you understand that. And if we did, I'd be preaching very differently. I want to tell you, on Sundays than I preach. I would be doing self-help messages, which is basically what we're instructed to do by the church growth experts that can fill a church, make people feel good, itch their ears, their short little 20-minute, 25-minute messages that make people feel tingly and good, and they walk out, but there's no call to repentance. There's nothing ever that we talk to them about, you know, about sin. God forbid you mention hell. And so when we're praying for multiplication, we're praying that people would be radically saved. Because if you notice that the scriptures, everyone was radically saved. I think you have to see that. There were no soft, cushy, fake, you know, conversions. These people were radically saved. They were saved out of Judaism and basically, for the most part, hated by their family and their community when they came to Christ. And then when you're going into the book of Acts, when the gospel went to the Gentiles by Paul, they were saved out of paganism. They were saved from worshiping all these false gods. So when Jesus said, you know, he came to bring a sword and not to bring, you know, peace, and a father will be against a son and a son against the mother, I mean, this is what happened. These people were radically saved. They really denied themselves, took up their cross, and followed him. And they really took up their cross because many of them were killed for their faith in Jesus. So when we're praying, what we're praying for in multiplication again is not, oh, let's, you know, I get people coming. Let's just, you know, we can just fill the church. It would be nice if everybody was a true disciple and was a true worshiper of God. That's what we're praying. Fill the church. I pray that every seat in this church is filled multiple times on a Sunday. But let them be filled with people who are radically saved and are disciples and are growing and maturing into the fullness of Christ. So that should be our prayer as far as, you know, multiplication. And that is the multiplication that you do see throughout the book of Acts. I think the genuine church in the world, you know, that speaks of them, people who are radically saved and people who really became true disciples of Jesus. So we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for the multiplication of our church. And Tito, I want you to pray a prayer. You're an evangelist. You're the evangelist barber. Tito brings a lot of people to the church. I was actually praying for you and, you know, your locations and what you do. And I was praying for the guys that, you know, we have some of your guys here tonight, the guys that you have brought here. So, Father in heaven, hear our prayer, Lord God. You put us on this earth, Lord God, to multiply. The kingdom of God, Lord God, is a growing kingdom. It's an expanding kingdom. It's a kingdom that has gone from a mustard seed to a fully grown shrub. And Lord God, it continues to expand, and it will, Lord God, not only when the rapture happens, Lord God, the kingdom of God will expand through the tribulation, and Lord God, it will expand right through the millennial kingdom. So, Lord God, we're glad to be part of the kingdom, but we're praying, Lord God, that Living Word Community Church, let us be faithful, Lord God, in the Great Commission. And Lord, let us be used by you to lead people into a living, vital, personal relationship with you. And Father God, use us to then nurture them, to teach them, to baptize them, that, Lord God, they would grow and mature into the fullness of Christ. Lord God, I pray for multiplication to happen here in the Church of Living Word. Father God, let us see just some great growth. Hear our prayers. Let it prevail with you tonight. For we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.